All of our scripture readings, on one level or another, are talking about baptism. When you hear about water, it's often a symbol of baptism or a reference to baptism. In that first reading from the book of Exodus, the people of Israel out in the wilderness, out in the desert, and they get thirsty, as one is wont to do out in the desert. And instead of just asking God through Moses to give them some water, they don't ask for at all. They just grumble. To the point of like getting ready to stone Moses. And we see how merciful God is, because he doesn't make a big deal out of it. He just says to Moses, go over there in front of the people and stand in front of the rock of Horeb. I'll be standing there in front of you on that rock. God's going to be there. God's going to meet you there. And he says, strike the rock and the water will flow from it. And that's what happened. In the New Testament, one of the letters of St. Paul, St. Paul is referring to this very scene and this whole past, you know, the years of wandering in the wilderness, and he says that this rock, he calls it a spiritual rock that followed them throughout the desert. And he says, and the rock was Christ. So imagine this. God is speaking to Moses, and he says, there's this rock I want you to stand in front of, and I'll be there. I want you to strike the rock, and out will flow water. And the rock is Christ. On the cross, the side of Christ was pierced, was struck. And what flowed out? Blood and water. Baptism and the Eucharist. The water of baptism, the blood of the Eucharist. It's a powerful little prefigurement there of who Christ is. In that responsorial psalm, we sang the refrain, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. That was the problem with the Israelites and everyone before Christ. Their hearts were hardened. And the hearts got softened, made real, made fleshy through the Spirit being given in baptism. But we still let our hearts get hardened again, even though we've got the Holy Spirit here. If today you hear his voice, then beg the Holy Spirit to come and touch your hearts again. Soften your hearts again. Make them real and fleshy, able to love, not hardened. And St. Paul, in that second reading, he says, it's a beautiful reference to baptism. He says, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Given to us in baptism. When you were baptized, the Holy Spirit was poured into your hearts, who brought the love of God there, who transformed your hearts from stony, hardened hearts into real, fleshy hearts that can love, because the love of God has been poured into your hearts. Now, the most important reading here is the gospel, powerful gospel from the Gospel of John. And it starts off by saying that Jesus was on this journey. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and he's worn out, and he sits down by the well. Now, you have to keep in mind, throughout the Old Testament, wells are really important places. In the book of Genesis, Abraham is always digging new wells. And then he's making covenants with the people in that land at the well. And then sometimes his enemies come and try to fill up those wells. And he fights them off. And then his son Isaac comes, and his enemies come and fill up those wells. And Isaac reopens those wells. And Isaac makes more covenants at those wells. And Isaac meets his future wife at a well. And Jacob, Isaac's son, meets his future wife at a well. And Moses meets his future wife at a well. So in the Old Testament, wells were really important. kind of a source of the divine wellspring. And they were also places where you met your future wife. So then we come to the gospel where Jesus is at a well and a woman shows up. What's going to happen? What's going on here? Every good Jew who knows their Old Testament would be like, wait a minute. Jesus is on to something here. And it says Jesus looks at the woman and he says, give me a drink. Is he really thirsty? Not for earthly water. He's terribly thirsty for her faith, for her heart, for her love. Give me a drink. And she's like, well, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, you're a man, I'm a woman, what's going on here? And Jesus says, if you knew who was asking you, you would have asked him, and he would give you living water. And there's this great line then where the woman says to Jesus, sir, you don't even have a bucket. How are you going to get living water? Where are you going to get your living water from? You don't even have a bucket. Like, this bucket is so important to her. Right? Her life revolves around this bucket. And what we'll find is, later on in the gospel, after she's encountered Jesus, she leaves the bucket behind. She doesn't need it anymore. She's so important to her here. And then all of a sudden she realizes, that's not what I'm after. I'm not after either this bucket or the water in this well. I'm after so much more. Jesus says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. The water I give will become a well, a spring of water within him, welling up to eternal life. It's a beautiful image. The Holy Spirit gets poured into you and becomes this a well within you, raising you up to eternal life. And the woman, this is an important line, she says, sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. She's finally woken up to her thirst. And it's not earthly thirst anymore. She's finally realized, I'm thirsting for eternal life. I want that. I want God. And she realizes, I'm tired of this world. Coming here to draw water again, this earthly labors. Elsewhere in the gospel, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. I'll give you my spirit. And so Jesus says to her, I've woken up a thirst for eternal life in you and to be at rest from this world. So he says, go call your husband and come back. Now, why does Jesus tell her to go call her husband? Is it because women can't make decisions on their own? Is that why? No, that is not it. Jesus is not misogynistic. He loves women. He's doing the second thing here. He just woke up her faith, and now he's waking up her sense of sin. Go call your husband. I don't have a husband. No, you don't. You've had five. And the one you're with now is not your husband. And he's not trying to shame her. He's just trying to wake up a sense of sin. Because really, he's like, you know, look, it's a well, and you're here. And who's your husband? Who's your real husband? Who should you be longing? Who's going to really protect you? Who's going to really provide for you? Who can give you eternal life, eternal joy? That's why he says, go get your husband. Because he's like, look at me. Come to me. And the woman, they just keep having this conversation. It just goes deeper and deeper. The next thing, they start talking about worship. If he's awakened her faith and awakened in her a sense of sin, then she's ready to worship the Father. Then she's ready to give her life in adoration. And Jesus says, the Father is seeking such people to worship him. If you came here thinking this was your inspiration, think again. It's the Father who's been seeking you from the very beginning and drawing you little by little to come to him. It's God who has thirsted for us first, and he strives to wake up our thirst for him. And I love this, because then Jesus, the woman says, starts talking about the Messiah, the Christ, the one who is to come. And Jesus, for the first time in the gospel, he says, I am he. That's me. He speaks to her plainly, clearly. I'm the one you're seeking. Look at me. Look to me. And then the apostles come back. The woman leaves her bucket behind and runs to the town. And the apostles come back, and they ask him about, don't you want to eat? He says, I've got food of which you do not know. I can imagine him smiling. I've got food of which you do not know. This has been the best meal I've had in years. And they're like, what, did someone give you a hot dog? What's going on? And he says, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me. Right? And there's this beautiful line. Jesus says to them, and he says it to us as well, look up. Look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. Look up and see what the Father has done, preparing our hearts, our faith, our sense of sin, our need for God. Look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. Jesus sees you. He sees you. And he's calling his helpers, his disciples, his apostles, his deacons and priests and ministers to come and finish the harvest. He sees you, and he wants you to look up and see around you those who are also eager for the harvest. The last thing is just at the end of that gospel, the Samaritan woman goes and shares everything that she has learned and experienced about Jesus. It's so important. And then the Samaritans, the rest of the town folk, they come. And at first they believe because of what she told them, but then they make it their own. They make it their own. And what do they say in the end? Now we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. When you experience Jesus, you come to understand he's the Savior of the world. So here's the homework for the week. This week, be like the Samaritan woman. Yes, you dudes as well. Be like the Samaritan woman. She does three really important things. She wakes up. She lets Jesus wake up her faith. She's thirsting for God. So this week, ask the Lord to help you to thirst for the Lord, to be thirsty to increase your faith. The second thing is Jesus wakes up the sense of sin in her. So ask the Lord to help you to wake up your sense of sin, because that's when you can get forgiven and freed. And then thirdly, she shared that with others. So ask the Lord in prayer this week to increase your thirst, to wake up your sense of sin so that you can be freed and forgiven and share that with somebody.